اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله لا إله إلا هو الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. له ما في السماوات وما له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يئوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله إذا جاء ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تذليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات. السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We express our condolences to the Imam of our time and to all mu'mineen, mu'minat, and lovers of the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'in, on the occasion of the shahada of Imam al-Baqir, salamullah wa salawatuhu alayh, this great Imam who among the 14 ma'sumin has been a key component in our guidance that we as believers have received today in the various forms that we have received. And while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who rewards Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayh and all of the Ahlul Bayt and all of the Anbiya and Ma'sumeen and Sulaha, the righteous, God is the one that provides rewards for them. We ask Allah to make us following the teachings of these great imams, these great figures, these great leaders, as a reward for them seeing the effect of their work, as God has mentioned in the Quran. That's one of the rewards that God gives. We're asking that God make us part of that reward that He gives them, inshallah. Imam al-Baqir salamullahi alayh has many aspects to discuss in terms of his personality, if we were to discuss that. His leadership during the years that he was the leader of the Muslimin after the Shahada of Imam Zain al-Abidin salamullah alayhi, up to the moment he took his last breath in this world. The events that took place in his life, the companions he had, and so on and so forth. There's plenty that can be discussed. What I'd like to discuss tonight is something related to Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayh. We will study him and his efforts in the context of this greater theme. It's both one of his teachings, as it is a teaching that every single prophet and imam had at the focal point of their teachings, the foundation for everything else, but also something that we can see in ayah in the work of Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayh, to see that what he did and the effect of it is an example, a sign that proves the truth of it, and we are in need of this. Because we are in need of believing it crystal clear 110%. We fail to do so. The teaching is very simple. The teaching is Tawheed. The teaching is the oneness of Allah. The teaching is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is in charge, as we read in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 255, I believe, Ayatul Kursi, وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. Before that it says له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما. Every bit of that verse, everything belongs to him. The heavens, the earth, what's in the heavens, what dwells in the heavens, what dwells on the earth itself, the various, every bit of it actually belongs to him. And therefore, if anyone, anything is effective in regards to another being, another one of God's creation, it cannot do that illa bi'idhnih. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. And these various beings, these human beings, us, يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم. He knows everything about us, what's before us, what's in front of us, what came before us, what's during our time, what's afterwards, the whole thing. He knows everything. He's in charge. He created it. He knows what he created. He knows what he is in charge of. He knows what he is doing to his creation. Therefore, he knows it all. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. Beneath, above, below, everything surrounding that being itself, inside, outside, above, below, material, spiritual, it's his. So يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء. On the other hand, us, we have zero knowledge of his, and all knowledge is his. There is no knowledge besides knowledge that's God's. And we have none of it إلا بما شاء. Except the amount that he has wanted. Whatever we know is the amount he has allowed us to know. We would not know anything whatsoever if he didn't want us to. Whether it's the analysis of what we find through our senses or directly what we understand, what we sense through our senses, the rational, intellectual, mathematical, philosophical, physical, physiological, all that knowledge that's there in the form of the sciences, the philosophies, the humanities, literature, language, everything, all of that, we would not have known one bit of it إلا بإذنه or إلا بما شاء, except to the amount that he wanted. And that's all of us collectively and each of us individually. What humanity knows today, with all the developments in terms of the material and worldly sciences that it has developed, and of course the decline in all the other aspects, but in terms of understanding a certain aspect of the material world and how things work and how there's electric power in these various creations of God and the various forms that it can be produced in a sense or extracted in another sense. All of this is bima sha. When we are, why didn't we learn this? We, according to what they say, which is not accurate, I don't see any time, any particular amount of time mentioned in the Quran about how many years it's been that human beings have been on earth. They say whatever thousand or thousands of years, whatever number of millennia we have been on earth before, according to them, we had the knowledge of writing, and after that, why after all these millennia, this particular time for mankind to learn these things, bima sha, every bit of it is bima sha. This is a very clear-cut teaching in the Qur'an, in the sayings of the Prophet, in the sayings of Fatima al-Zahra, in the sayings of Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the sayings of Imam al-Mujtaba, in the sayings of Imam al-Husayn, in the sayings of all of the Imams, including Imam al-Baqir sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only being that is fully independent, and He is, and He does not depend on anyone for being, and everything is of His is His. Everything else belongs to Him, depends on Him. There's nothing else that is independent. There's nothing else that exists on its own. Nothing else that has, that owns its own existence. There is no such thing. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. It's a very, very clear-cut teaching. That is a fact, is a truth, one of the practical results of this idea, of this truth, of this reality, is that no matter what we do, what our intentions are, what our plans are, what He wants will happen. None of us can in any way stand in His way. And we are all, mu'min and kafir, part of making what He wants happen. This truth, the practical aspect of it, we were saying, is that, well, since that's the case, since that is reality, then a person who understands that would want to do what he says he will make happen. He will do what God promises rewards for, what God promises that this act, this deed, this behavior, this thought, this belief, this, these words said, these words heard, this activity, this planning is going to be effective in the long run. I will give it effect. I will give it rewards. You will benefit from it. I will give, God says, I will give benefit to this behavior. Benefit is rewards. The reward of every action is for it to firstly be effective in this world and reach its destination and its goal. And then to reach its destination and goal in the hereafter, which is on a higher level. This is a very important practical result and practical outcome of believing in that truth, that reality. Why is it so important to believe in that for this choice? Well, when there's no opposition, when there isn't any pushback, when you're thinking in a bubble, it all sounds and makes perfect sense. And anyone who sits down and just puts two and two together, they clearly understand that is the case. There's no way out of this. It's just so rationally sound. Everything adds up, and there's nothing left unanswered. It's perfect. Everything makes sense with that. All right, that's in a bubble when we think. But now we come to reality. We want to say, okay, well, based on that, I need to do what God says. Well, if I want to do what God says that the 12th Imam is going to establish a government of justice, you need to work towards it. I'm looking around me, I'm saying, well, he's, I guess, going to come and do it. What can I do? There's nothing I can do. The descriptions are he's going to overthrow all the unjust governments, establish one government for the entirety of the globe. The people will flock towards him, the people will accept him, the people want him to do so. There's a minority that fights against him. With the help of the majority, the imam will punish the minority that is causing injustice and corruption and killing and all of that. remove them from power and establish that government with the help of the people themselves, the righteous ones from amongst them, and then eventually society is going to become this golden age of development, spiritual as well as material. While spiritually we're making progress, materially we're going to be making progress at a much higher speed and rate than whatever we've seen up to this point. These are clear descriptions of the time of the coming of the Imam of our time. But we're told that we need to work towards that. Look at that picture, that vision of the future. You need to build it. The Imam is building it while in occultation. This is what we're told. I'm speaking on a very at a very macro level. I'm not talking about this particular act of, I don't know, this prayer here, that fasting there. No, these are goals that we need to be working towards. We need to build that. The 12th Imam is doing this while in occultation because he is the sun. The sun provides light and sheds light even when it's behind the cloud. It does everything that the sun does when there's no cloud, except that the cloud covers the disk of the sun from us seeing it, but the effects we see. So he's working towards those goals. He's working towards them. We're told to work towards them. We need to be working towards removing injustice from the face of the earth, whatever else that entails. We look at that, we think of that, words that resonate and are translations of that in this day and age. We heard from great leaders like Imam Khomeini today, like Ayatollah Khamenei, and those who work under him, like Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. We hear these things, and it sounds great, but then we're thinking, what can we do? It's just a nice thing to hear, and to, I guess, wait for things to happen. That's the way it's being dealt with. When Imam Khomeini started his movement in Qom, speaking against the regime, speaking and explaining the wrongs of the regime and telling the people, you need to stop this regime, ulama in Qom said, this is futile, it's useless, it won't bear fruits. Then when the Shah cracked down, this took about 2-3 years when he first started in 1341 in the Iranian calendar. Right now it's 1400 in the Iranian calendar. This is the year 1400 in the Persian, Iranian, whatever you want to call it, calendar. 60 years ago, he started. 1341, 59 years ago to be a little more accurate. 1341, 1342, 1343. He started, the Shah started cracking down, the monarch of Iran started cracking down, they started attacking the Hauza, they killed people. They made life more difficult. The number of the ulama who disagreed with Imam Khomeini and now were more vocal increased. This is, we know, we understand what you're saying, but this is not doable. We can't do this. What was Imam Khomeini's response to them? I want to take from Imam al-Baqir. You see this example of Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayh, so that this teaching becomes part of us. We don't say those things to Imam Khomeini. The followers of Imam Khomeini, that the hadith describes, the hadith of the Ahlul Bayt describes the followers of Imam Khomeini as pieces of iron. They're like steel, they're hard, they're strong, impenetrable, invincible. When Imam Khomeini told his followers that Khurramshahr, the southern, southwestern city of Khurramshahr that was under Saddami occupation needs to be liberated. They didn't say, well, he's got all of this, that, the other. We don't have this, that. They said, we need to do this. How? Like, I don't know. We got to do it. We have to do this. He is our wali. He has commanded us to do this. Islam says, follow him. His commands are wajib. Therefore, following him is following what God says. So God is wanting us to do this right now. It doesn't matter how. And God says, if you do what I tell you, I will assist you. They went forward. They did it. And when they liberated it, Imam Khomeini announced, Khurramshahr ro khuda azad kard. It was God who liberated Khurramshahr. It needs to be that firm in us, that belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. When they told Imam Khomeini in those days, this is not going to be effective, he said, that's not my business. My business is, what's my taklif? What does God want? It being effective or not effective, ineffective, is not my business. It's his business. And he didn't always explain this. At times he did, and it's clear in the Quran. God says, "Inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin." It's impossible for it to be ineffective. It's impossible for it to be ineffective. Now, when is the effect going to come? That's a different thing. But it's impossible that there's no effect. God says, "Inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin." You do something that's good, God told you to do it, then that is not going to be futile. It will not be useless. It would not be an effort in vain. It will be effective. But we need to believe that, to take that measure. Once we take that measure, it's effective. Okay, this is the teaching. We used examples of how this is so important for us today, because the responsibilities for those who want to be of the followers of the Imam of our time, the responsibilities are serious. At times, you have to do the impossible. You need to move towards things that seem to be impossible. The only way you can take steps towards what seems to be, what is clear to our eyes to be impossible, the only way to move in that direction, take those steps, is to know that what seems to be impossible to us is impossible for us, not for him. He said, do it. It's not impossible for him. It will happen when I don't know, but I'm supposed to move towards that direction. It will happen. Now, where does Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayhi come into this picture? Imam al-Baqir taught this. Okay, but that's not our discussion right now. Imam al-Baqir's efforts as an abd of Allah who did the impossible during his time and it was effective is an ayah, a sign, an example that shows us clearly this teaching is true. There's a time where we read something, a theory of reality, a teaching in this case, which is not a theory, it's a divine teaching. We read it as a person reading this teaching, God is in charge. I read it, it makes sense. I read the reasoning for it, it makes sense. But like Ibrahim alayhi salam, that in the Quran, he asks Allah, he says, how do you bring to life the mawta? God says, afalam tu'min, don't you believe? He said, yes, I believe. But ليطمئن قلبي, I want my heart not to have any, I don't want it to be shaky, a shaky type of belief. I know it, I don't have any questions regarding it, it's crystal clear. But seeing it, in other words, that's the point we're trying, seeing it in action, seeing it, an example of it, is going to be different. It shows us. There's so many, of course, examples, but we are commemorating the shahada of Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhi. I want to explain how what Imam al-Baqir did was the impossible. and for his to work, for his work to be effective as it was very effective, is a clear example of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing what he wants. And we should learn from that. We should learn from Imam al-Baqir. He taught it and he implemented it. He didn't just teach it. He did the impossible. Trusting in God, relying on Him, doing what God commands that looks like impossible. What is it that Imam al-Baqir did? In brief, there's a lot of details of the sayings of what Imam al-Baqir did, the trips he made, the different people he spoke to, different events that happened. But there's one theme as an imam that he was leading people towards, and we see it was effective. And that was, at the time, the impossible.